Okay, everyone is here. Let me just see who we got here. Okay, we have a nice Olam here. Okay, so let's I'm waiting for the Malbim. The Malbim over here says Al Mishmarti Moida Achre Shitsia Esatila Vihavikuach Asher Orach Al Hatzloch Asher Shoya Moile. After Chavakuk has laid out the prayer and the debate, which Asher Orach, which he arranged regarding the success of the wicked, Ha'ele B'nei Bavel, Omar Al Mishmar Mitzape Al Teshuvas Hashem Sheyagi Ehu Al Zeh. Now he's waiting for Hashem's response. This itself is a very powerful lesson. Now, when a person is mispalel, he has the right to wait for Hashem's answer. A tefillah is a conversation. It's not a one-way street. The Malbim over here is teaching us a very powerful lesson. Chavakuk was mispalel to Hashem. What is going on? Why are you allowing? It's not just a request. It's a prayer. He calls this a tefillah. The Malbim calls the words of Chavakuk a prayer. Perek Aleph more or less was a tefillah. And when a person is mispalel, he is entitled to get an answer.
Says I'm using computer audio, but I don't hear anything.
You don't hear me? Is your sound on? Hello? Hello?
I'm just seeing him, Mom. I'm not hearing him.
You're not hearing who am I speaking to? Who's this?
Maybe he has a dialogue on your computer screen.
Okay, your sound, make sure your sound is on. The other people can hear us. Make sure, look on your screen to make sure that your audio is on. Look around on the screen and ensure that all the different audio ports are on. If it doesn't work, then close it and start again. Exit Zoom and relaunch the app and try again. Maybe next time around it'll be better. All right, let's continue. The Yesh Hevdil now goes further and he says in the first wide line. Okay, we're up to the first wide line on what's on your screen. The Yesh Hevdil bein Mishmar bein Motzar. There is a difference between a Mishmar and a Motzar. A Mishmar Nasilios Hagona al Hanishmar. A Mishmar is defensive. Kemo Vishomer Mishmeres Beis HaMelech, Mishmeres HaBayis, VeHamotzar Nasil L'Chaboyish HaSadavar. A Motzar is offensive. We learned the Pesukim the very first time, I told you like the Malbim, that there are two, the Chavakuk is describing himself as both going on the defense and the offense. Shut Tzor Lecha, Ritzon Elaymar, Ki Bidvarav, Shediber, B'Simen HaAkoidem, Hoyu Shnei Dvarim. He's going back now to explain the previous prayer, Perek Aleph, in regard to these two matters. Aleph, number one, Masha Hispalel Al Yisholu Hasir Be'Aleim HaRa'ah. Number one, he's praying to Hashem from a defensive point of view. We are under attack. We ask you, Hashem, to remove this evil. Beis mashis vakach al hatzlochas bavel harishoyim v'dalsois hakos of mikablim. Okay, now he says of you a very beautiful word, the delos. Okay, the first point over here is that the Chavakuk, when he approaches HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he approaches Hashem from a defensive point of view and from an offensive point of view. That's an incredible lesson in the Koyach of Tzila. In Tzila, we ask Hashem to protect us. The first Baruch of Shemoneh Esrei, we conclude every day, Baruch Atah Hashem Mogein Avraham. That is a Hagana, protection. We look at ourselves under attack, and we need Hashem to protect us. But then, there is also, we ask Hashem for success in going on the offensive. That is more Avraham and Yitzchak. That's more Yitzchak and Yaakov. That is Avodah, Tefillah, and Torah. There are things that we try to accomplish in this world, to conquer this world. V'chifshua, Peru Urvu, Umilu Es Ha'aretz, V'chifshua. The Chifshua mandate. My father, Zechor Levrach, always used to talk about that. The Chifshua mandate. When Hashem created Adam HaRishon, Hashem did not tell him, sit in a ghetto. Sit in the ghetto, and your goal should be to protect yourself from all of the dangers of the world. When Hashem created Adam, Hashem said to man, Peru urevu umilu es haaretz v'chifshua. Go on the offensive. Go out. Leave your bubble. Conquer the world. Accomplish, achieve. Do something in this world. Make this world a better place. Contribute to this world. If you're going to live in a ghetto and you're just going to protect yourself, shield yourself from the contamination, from the goyim and all of the terrible things that are out there, that's not the purpose. You have missed the boat. That's not the purpose of creation. There is a mandate called v'chif shuha. Here, Chavakuk mentions that. He says to the Ribbono Shel Olam, I'm doing two things. I al mishmarti e'emoida. I need protection. I need to be fortified. But I also ve'es yatzva al motzar. I am going out on the offense. I'm going to lay siege to a city to conquer this world, to enter into a place, into terrain, into a mokoim that no man has gone before. I'm going there to succeed. It's an incredible idea. Now, by the way, most of the mafarshim that we learned until now did not learn like that. Most of the commentators that we learned until now, they interpreted the words al-motsar as a defense. As Rashi explained, what does Rashi explain? That from the word motsar, he learns that Chavakuk, he drew a circle around himself and he said to Hashem, I am not coming out of this circle until you answer my request. So, and the Radak also said something similar, where he interpreted the words al, the motzar means I am in the motzar. I, a person, I'm locked in. Hashem, help me. I'm in a lot of trouble. I'm standing guard to protect myself. Number two, I feel like I am under siege. So according to the Radak and according to Rashi and most Mefarshim, both expressions that Chavakuk is expressing is a plea to Hashem to help to protect him from the danger. He looks at himself as a victim of terror, and I need protection. The Malbim clearly does not learn like that. The Malbim learns that Chavakuk is focusing on two different approaches. Number one, there's defense. Number two, there is offense. The first part is al mishmarti emoy. The second part is al motzar, to go forward. Okay, and that again, remember, never forget about the peru urevu v'chifshua. Now, he says over here a very beautiful expression, the Malbim. The Malbim, of course, the Malbim, like none other, has a way with words, and he used the word the delosos. What does that mean, the delosos? This is the only place where this appears is in Yirmiyah, in regard to Megillas Eicha.
I got it.
Okay, only in regard to Megillas Eicha. What happened in Megillas Eicha? In Megillas Eicha, when Yirmiyah, he wrote, there's a lot of noise here. Noise pollution is the number one problem in this world. Wherever you go, there's noise. Yirmiyah, when he wrote Eicha, Eicha was presented to the Melech. It was presented to Yehoyakim. And when he read, it says there in the past that when he read the first Deles. Say it again. There's an echo. Say that again. What did you say? When he wrote, when the Megillah was presented to the Melech, it says the Melech read a pasuk and burnt it in the fire. And the way the pasuk describes, he burnt a pasuk or a section, I don't remember the exact words, is a delis. He read the first delis and he ripped it out of the Megillah. He took a knife, he cut it out of the Megillah, and he threw it into the fire. They read the next delis and they threw that into the fire. The word delis is a very fascinating word. It means, we always translate it as a door. It's also the letter dalid. Okay, we don't really say it correctly. We call the fourth letter of the Aleph Beis in our Ashkenazic, Yiddish-slanted expression, our articulation, delis. Is that the correct way to pronounce the fourth letter of the Aleph Beis? I don't know. But the way it's spelled is Dalid Lamid Tuf, which would mean Delas, not Dalid. I don't know why we pronounce Dalid. It's really Delas. That's the way it's spelled in the Gemara. The fourth letter of the Aleph Beis is a Delas. What is the number? Yeah?
Rabbi Levine, I think sometimes you see it pronounced as D-A-L-E-T, Dalit. So Dalit would be a mispronunciation of the Tuf.
Dalit, right. So maybe we're not pronouncing the Tuf correctly. One of the problems that we have is we don't know how to differentiate between a Tes and a Tov. What's the difference? Most of us don't differentiate. Most of us, it's all the same. A Tes and a Tav. It can't possibly be the same. Because
The Tav is supposed to be a TH sound, according to the dictionary.
The Tav is a TH sound.
It's like a Tav, yeah. Like
there's a Sav and a Tav. With a Dada Dogesh, a Dugusha, and a Refuya. The Dugusha is, the way we say is Tav. And the refui is sov, sov. TH, the, I don't know. Whatever it is. One thing is a for sure problem. 99% of us do not, at least in Ashkenaz, in our pronunciation, do not differentiate between the letter tes and the letter tov. It's all the same, which is problematic because it can't be the same. We don't differentiate between the letter vov and the letter Vez. Okay, there's another letter. The letter, what's the other one? There's another two letters that we don't differentiate between. I forgot, it slips my mind. But Deles, the way the fourth...
A kuf
and a chaf?
A kuf
and a kuf, correct. Right, a kuf and a kuf. What's the difference? Okay, when it comes to spelling an aleph and an ayin, most of us don't. I mean, this already is something which some people already have at least a little bit of an appreciation that the ayin is not the way ayin is not an aleph, but most of us don't differentiate. So we already
have two words we have left over from the ayin. Yankiv.
The New York Yankees. That's where the Yankees come from.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
The Yankees come from the iron.
From the old pronunciation. My oldest son Binyamin, he davens everything like that. So in a couple of shuls, because they know he pronounces letters differently, they don't let him over to the oven.
Where did Yehuda meet Tamar? He met her at a Yankee game. The Pesach Ein Ayin. He met her by a Yankee game. That's how the whole story of Yehuda Binyamin. The Mashiach came from the Yankee game. He met her at Pesach Inayim.
On Matzav, there's a video of a guy laying a Pasuk Hashmini in 15 different nusachs.
What does that have to do? What does that have to do with this?
Nothing. He had to get it out.
Okay, everybody, side. What we have over here? We have over here. I just want to point out. We have over here. This is a very fascinating thing called the letter. What we pronounce Dalit. It's really spelled Delas. What is a Delas? A door. A door does not appear all that often in Tanakh. It appears in the story of Lot. When the Malachim came to save Lot, Vayiskar Delas Ba'adoy. Or both the Malachim, Lot, he saved them.
It's
a Delas.
That's what it says.
And then it's. Oh, by Noach, it says the word Delas. Doesn't say the word Delas.
No, doesn't say
Delas. Badoy. Okay, but there's another pasuk. Okay, but it does mention the door by Lot. Okay, where else is there a door? But then it says right after that someone closed the door. It does say the word door. The Delas Sogar Acharav. So there is where you find the word Delas.
Twice,
where else you have the word Delas? In Parshas Mishpatim, when it comes to the nirtza, if the nirtza says oh hafti yes adoin yes ishi yes bonai leis el chavshi, you go and you bore. Now that's almost it. That's kimat it. There's almost no other place in Tanakh that you have nudelas. Isn't that bizarre? A door is such a basic, fundamental part of the house, and you almost don't have it anywhere else. Even in Mitzrayim, you're supposed to put the dam al hamashkos. Where? But you have.
Possibly, I don't have a full Tanakh in front of me.
Somebody could look to see. We don't have the word delus. The word delus is very, very rare. But the word delus is used in an entirely different context in Yirmiyah when Eicha was written for the first time and it was presented to the Melech. If I'm not mistaken, it was Yehoyakim. If I'm not mistaken, maybe I'm making a mistake. And he read the few psukim of the Megillah. And he said, what? Hashem is going. Was it Tzidkiyahu? I don't remember. Maybe it was Tzidkiyahu. And he, I don't remember. I'm embarrassed. I don't remember. Something so basic. And the Melech took the Megillah, he sliced out those psukim, and he put it in the fire. And there, a collection of psukim, or a section, is called a delus. What? Now we have a mesora that if you have a word in Hebrew, the words are very sacred, and if the same exact letter spell a door, and happens to be the fourth letter of the Aleph Beis, and also refers to a section of writing in a book, in a sefer, there must be some relationship. Between what it is, not for now. It's a topic of discussion. What is the connection between the way the word deles is used in Sefer Yirmiyah in regard to Megillas Eicha, as it was destroyed, as it was burnt in the fire, versus the way we use the word deles in our vocabulary, referring to a door, and also in regard to the mitzvah, the nirtza, and lot. The reason why I'm pointing this out is because the Malbum, who is such a bucky, an expert in language, he just kalachar yad when he uses the word here in describing in this context. He writes over here base. I'm over here now. Go back to the thing that I showed you. Let me put it back on the screen. Okay, and this. Oh no, I might be putting on the wrong one now. Hope we got the right one. Yeah. So here, if you look base on the second line, and you look on 1, 2, 3 lines down in the album, Ma Shehisvakach al Hatzlochas Bavel Harishoyim. The second point that Chavakuk is making, he's coming to complain to Hashem regarding their success. Vidalsois hakosuv makbilim. The delosois of the verse correspond. Makbilim means they correspond to these two themes. Look how he uses the word delosois here in his description. Delosois means the expressions. The expressions, he's translating the word delosois to mean expressions. If you would not learn Sefer Yirmiyah, you would have no clue what he's saying. Because the only place in the entire Tanakh that the word deles means an expression is in Sefer Yirmiyah. The word deles almost doesn't appear anywhere in Tanakh. It appears only in Parshas Mishpatim, yeah?
Actually, the word delis in all of its forms appears 87 times in Tanakh.
Wow.
The word delis itself only once, and then there are all the variations of it.
Okay, 80, what right. Do you say, how many times? How many times in all of its forms? How many times again, 86?
87
times, unbelievable. So here he's translating the word the same way it's used in Sefer Yirmiyah. And it's translated to mean an expression or a pasuk. The two expressions mentioned in the beginning of this parak, describing a Chavakuk as he stands before Hashem, number one, as Al HaMishmar, number two, Al HaMotzar, corresponds to his approach of prayer. When a person davens to Hashem, mitzad echad, he has to go on the defense. Baruch atah Hashem mogein Avraham, we need protection. Number two, we also need to go on the offense. We need to fulfill the kifshua mandate. Vidal sois akos of makbilim al mishmarti emoy de vatsapa liros maidaber Hashem bi al mashes palil al teshuas Yisrael al zelo yochol dab derech vikuach. Regarding what he mentions, the salvation of the Jewish people, he cannot speak derech vikuach. He's not going to argue. Ki yoda she Yisrael nischayvu oynish al yidei maaseim horoim rak ba derech tefilo v'yamar al mishmar maidaber Hashem maidaber Hashem bo. I'm not going on the offensive because I know that the Jewish people are guilty. And being that we are guilty, we are sinners, we do not deserve to be successful going out to conquer the world. The most I can possibly do is go on the defense. Lohodiehu ma mosa yachris hazam v'eis hateshua. So he waits patiently to hear Hashem respond to him. Vesyatseva al motzar. Okay, there's a lot of background noise over here coming from the shir, so I'm going to put everyone on mute. Okay, Vesyatseva. And now the second part, Vesyatseva al motzor lirois mo oshiv al tuichachti, al masha toan al shalvas bavel v'hatzlochasam, b'zeh zlakach v'derech v'ikuach, madua derech v'sham tzolecha. Loma sabit boigdim, loma tarini oven. Why do you see sin? U'v'zeh Vesyatseva al motzor kiloichem. I want to overcome you, Hashem. From our perspective, the Jewish people, we are guilty. So there's nothing I can say. I can't go on the offensive. The most I can do is try to defend us. I'm not gonna press it. But when it comes to the wicked people, the Babylonians and the Kastim, these are evildoers. That's not about us. That's about them. So here, I can go on the offense to argue with you and demand justice. Why are these people allowed to succeed? Vitzipa, he yearned, he anticipated, lirois masha yoshiv lo al toichachtoi uvi kuchoi, v'amar mo'ashiv ki lohoyu tulunoisov neged Hashem. He's not complaining to Hashem, rak sipa tulunos hador shahem noisim riv modoin al darkei ha'ashkocha. Over here, you're just coming to soften his complaint. The Yishnach Chas V'Shalom, get the impression that Chavakuk is speaking disrespectfully to Hashem. He's just representing the people. He's just being respectful. So the basic takeout point from this Malbum, the Yisoid of the Malbum is, the aside is there is defense and there is offense, and we dive into Hashem. We have two different approaches relative to two different things. And we've also mentioned over here this interesting idea called the Delos. Okay, now let's go to Pasuk Beis and Gimel. Let me put up on the screen the next page. What did I do over here? I made a mistake. One second. How do you do this? Share. Documents. This is not the way I looked at it before. Something is wrong here. Let me try this again. Photo. File manager. Images. Camera. Number two. Select. What's this? That's the wrong one. Okay, try again. Let me try again. Share. Photo. Image number three. Good. Okay, good. Pasuk Beis. We're now continuing in the Malbum Pasuk Beis. Vayaneni Hashem Kisoiv Chazoin. Hashem answered me, and Hashem said, Kisoiv Chazoin. Hashem Onohu Vihoidioi Mapelis Bavel Vishacharisam Lahachris. Vilohidia Loi Hazman Hamugbol Ze. Hashem said to Chavakuk, do not worry. Do not worry. They will be, Bavel will be defeated. But I'm not telling you the date. This is very similar to the Radak. His understanding is that Hashem here is telling him that there will be another Navi. As I mentioned to you before, it's very bizarre. It's like you're having a dream, and in your dream, you're having another dream. I'm dreaming about having a dream. A Navi is witnessing prophecy, and the prophecy is that there will rise one day another prophet. And that prophet will have a prophecy telling you new information. Isn't that strange? Once already you're having prophecy, let's cut to the chase. Give me the information that I'm seeking. What is this all about? I'm having a vision, and my vision is that there will be another prophet who will rise, who will first be born and mature, become an adult, and then become a prophet, and then he will have a prophecy, and that prophecy will be that in 70 years after the rise of Bavel, it will come to an end. Okay, this is extremely unique. Where do you have something like this in Tanakh? But that's what the Radak said, and the Malbim obviously was very pleased with this interpretation, and that's what he's saying here as well. He's writing over here, there's going to be another Navi that will rise. And he instructed Chavakuk to write this down on the Luchos to explain it. This is again similar to what we learned yesterday in the Radak, the difference between a Sefer and a Megillah. A Sefer is something that is put away in the Aron HaKodesh, and not everyone has access. It's in the library. But the Luchos, these tablets, refers to something which is available for everyone. Should not be concealed. Everyone should know this, what it means. Everyone should understand the explanation. I told you this once a long time ago, that I once had a Rebbe, and I didn't understand a word he said, not even one word, not even a single word that he said did I comprehend. And he had a complaint against me. Why don't you pay more attention in the shir and behave yourself? So I told him, I told him very politely, I don't understand a word that you told. I'm thick. I don't get it. So he says to me, well, don't you know that when the Ribbono Shel Olam spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu, the Ribbono Shel Olam spoke b'derech remez. And Moshe Rabbeinu had to work, had to horava to figure out what Hashem was saying. So I should also view him like the Rebbe Talmud relationship. I should be viewed that way, and I have to work much harder to understand what he said. So I didn't say it in these words, but basically I said to him, "Listen, I'm not Moshe Rabbeinu, and you are certainly not the Ribbono Shel Olam." So, but what I take out of that story is that there are times in history, supposedly, where the Ribbono Shel Olam does not speak to us clearly. Hashem speaks to us b'derech remez, and we have to struggle to understand the deeper meaning or the correct, accurate meaning behind Hashem's words. Hashem says to Chavakuk, not today. Maybe that would be good. That would be a good approach for other matters, but in regard to the message that I am delivering now, that Nevuchadnezzar will come to an end and there will be a redemption, I want it to be clear as day. Don't go for this business of remozim, secrets. Only select people have access to. Information is meant to be disseminated to everyone. Everyone has a right to have an education, to know all the secrets. Okay, there are things that are secrets, but there are things which are meant to be transparent for all. This is the pasuk of transparency. You see what it says here? Levan Yorutz Koirevo. There's a chazoin. Write down the words, the secret, and have it locked up. But in this instance, I am declassifying the information. I want it to be clearly understood and disseminated al haluchos, which will loosely translate online for the world to see. Leman yoritz karevo, so that there should be transparency. And what is the message of transparency? The moment, the coming of Mashiach, that there will be a geula, there will be a redemption. There's a lot to learn from these words here, but our times. So back to the words. Over here, the last small line. Okay, if you're looking online, if you move your fingers, you can probably enlarge it. If you can't see clearly, Shayavin by Koladin Vahoya Hahevdel, now in the first wide line, Vahoya Hevdel, Bain Dava Nikhil Besev, Shlai Kulam Korib Besarim, or Bain Dava Nikhil Alalucha, Shayada Kol Misham Shimba, Vahain Siva Shayvar Hadram, explain it, Veloye bin Vuosa Dava Sosma, which should not be a secret. Laman Yaritz Koriboy, Shayedu Akol Espirusha, everyone should know the interpretation. Ke Pasik Gimel, Ki Oid Chazoin Lamoyed, Hoidia Loy Shaylov, Lo Yigala Es Hamoyed. The Hazman Mosa Yem Apelles Bavel, he informed Chavakuk that even to you, Chavakuk, I will not reveal the precise moment. The Hazman Mosa Yem Apelles Bavel v'Shaal Ze Yovei Oid Chozem Yuchod Al Yidei Yirmiya. Yirmiya will be the one that will see this v'Shehu Rocha Zoyin Shel Hamoyed. So this will take place 70 years. Shenim shenish lemu b'shnas shalosh lebal shetzar. The third year of the malchus of Baal Shetzar is 70 years. Is 70 years from when? That was from the beginning of the rise of Bavel. When did Bavel come into existence? 18 years before the Churban Beis HaMikdash. There are three sets of 70. Okay, Yirmiyah, this is a very powerful lesson. Yirmiyah's Nevuah, the words of Yirmiyah's Nevuah were that in 70 years, Lefi Milois LeBavel Shivim Shana, Efkoid Eschem. There are three dimensions to the fulfillment of those words. Number one, the 70 years is to be calculated from the beginning of the Malchus of Bavel. Bavel's Malchus began 18 years before the Churban Beis HaMikdash. The second 70 years was 7 years later, which was 11 years before the Churban Beis HaMikdash. That was the moment when Nebuchadnezzar exiled Yehoyachin and the Chorosh VeHamasker. And the third set of 70 is from the moment of the Churban Beis HaMikdash. So now what were the three major events? How were these three prophecies fulfilled? Well, with regard to 18 years before the Churban Beis HaMikdash, exactly 70 years after, 18 years before the Churban, is when Nevuchad, was when the Malchus of Bavel came to an end. How did it come to an end? When Daryovesh Hamodi and Koresh conquered Baal Shetzar. the grandson of Nebuchadnezzar. That took place exactly 70 years from the time when Nebuchadnezzar established himself in this world as a superpower. The next 70-year cycle let's see, he explains. So the first 70 years was Shinishlamu Bishna Sholesh Lebal Shetzar Gam Hodialo Hashamoich Mapelis Bubble Inu Hakates. Okay, that's number one. He informed him that's not the end. It's not going to be the ultimate redemption. It's going to be the beginning of the redemption. The Malchus of Bavel will fall, and a new order will come in its place. Daryovesh HaMadi and his son-in-law, Koresh. Next, Ki Achar Sheyigalu Yishomi Bavel Yiglu Sheinis. V'akeitz shehi ha-gu'ulo ho-acharono lo yihye oz, v'yesh oid yofech la-keitz. It's going to be another time of redemption. Yofech means a speaking of redemption. Oid yokum lovi shuidabe v'yinabe ala-keitz asher lo yichazev v'yufsak ki amoid yichazev ritzon aloymar sheyufsak acharei zeh. It's going to be established after this. Oid ki oid yiglu sheinis. Avlakates lo yichazev ki lo yiye acharav golos v'donil hu yofiach esakates asher lo yichazev v'gam yeh teshua oylamis. Okay, now we're going off over here on tangents. Before we go, we explain this. He's saying something very, very deep. I just want to clarify the other point that we just started with. What was the second set of 70 years? That was when Koresh, 7 years later, gave permission to the Jewish people to rebuild the base Hamikdash. Koresh was the son-in-law of Daryovesh HaModi. We call it the Golus of Paras u'Modai. That's not accurate. It's really Modai and Paras. Modai, they were partners, but the one who took the lead was Modai, and there was an agreement that they would alternate. Modai would rule for a period of time, and then Paras would rule for a period of time. After Paras finishes its era, then the Malchus goes back to Modai, and they would alternate. It didn't work. Modai ruled for two years, just a very short time, and then gave over the Malchus to his son-in-law, Koresh, who was the king of Persia. But power corrupts, absolute power corrupts absolutely. And Koresh refused, after Koresh died, his descendants refused to return the Malchus to Modai, and they kept it for themselves. So it was Modai and Paras. When Koresh issued his proclamation that the Jewish people have permission to return to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, that was exactly 70 years from the time of the Golus of Yehoyachin. What happened? They began to return, and then came, and they began to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. Came along the 10 sons of Haman. They issued a sitna, an accusation, which resulted in a stop order to build the Beis HaMikdash during the time of Haman Nachashverosh. And after the Purim story, in the time of Daryovesh HaParsi, who was the son of Esther, did he cancel the stop order and allow the Jewish people to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, to return? That was during the time of Ezra. That was exactly 70 years from the Chorban Beis HaMikdash. So on a very simple level, we have to appreciate that even during that time, during that era, there are three dimensions to the words of the prophecy. Lifi melois lebavel shivim shana efkoid eschem. When Bavel will be full, when their maturity will arrive in the year 70, after 70 years, I will remember you. There are three dimensions to that pasuk. There are three ways to calculate the 70 years. And indeed, in each calculation, there was a different remembrance. The first calculation begins from the time when Nebuchadnezzar rose to power. And exactly 70 years from that moment, Nebuchadnezzar's dominance and power came to an end. The second calculation of 70 years was 7 years later. It was at the time when the Golus indeed began for real. The Golus began for real when Nebuchadnezzar exiled the very best. The Psalta uveshamna, the best of Klal Yisrael. What was the best of Klal Yisrael? The Chorosh veHamaskil. Whether it means the Talmidei Chachamim, or whether it means the brains, the people who knew how to make weapons, people knew how to rule the country, they were exiled. That was another dimension to the prophecy of 70 years. And exactly 70 years later from the Golus of Yehoyachin and the Chorosh HaMasker is when Koresh issued a proclamation that the Jewish people are permitted to go back and rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. And the third dimension to the 70 years was 70 years from the Churban Beis HaMikdash, and that was when Daryovesh HaParsi permitted the Jewish people to return for real, to return, and there would no longer be a stop order, and that indeed succeeded with Ezra and Nehemiah rebuilding the Beis HaMikdash, building the walls of Yerushalayim, and 5% of the Jewish people returned, and they inaugurated the Beis HaMikdash. So on a very simple level, at that time period, over a span of 18 years, there were three different dimensions to the prophecy of Lefi Melois Lebavel Shem Shana Efkoit Eschem. Now the Malbum is going further. The Malbum is saying, we read the pasuk gimel ki oid chazoin lamoyed. He puts a period. Chazoin lamoyed refers to the nevuah of Yirmiyah with its dimensions. He only here touches upon the first dimension of that vision, but we know there were three. But he just puts a period after the word lamoyed, and he says that is, we're describing it over here at this point, just Yirmiyah's nevuah. Now he very beautifully continues, the ofeach laketz v'lo yichazev is a reference. There's going to be another redemption, and this refers to Daniel Ishamudais, who will also reveal a prophecy. He will interpret the words, the handwriting on the wall, which is a cryptic message telling us the date of the Ketz HaYomin, and he here very novelly translates the word V'lo Yichazev to mean, after this redemption, there will not be a need for another redemption. After the first redemption of Chazon LaMoed, it's not going to be over. There will be a need for another redemption. That Moed will be wonderful. We will return and we will rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. And it will be a wonderful era. Godol, Kovoy, Bayis, Sa'acharoy, Yoyser, Min HaRishon. The glory of the Bayis Shani was even greater than the glory of the Bayis Rishon. But guess what? After 420 years, that glory came to an end. And we went into Golus again for almost 2,000, it's been almost 2,000 years. Then there will be another redemption. And this redemption, in the understanding of the Malbum, is described here with the words V'yofeach laketz. It's referring to Doniel's prophecy. And this is even greater than Yirmiyah, because this prophecy is v'lo yichazev. It will not be a lie. And the way you're going to get a lie is, it will not be necessary to repeat. Because when the Geula Hasidah comes, when the prophecy of Daniel Ish Chamudos is achieved, we're done. It's over. There's not going to be a need for another redemption. We take out of the Malbim an incredible chiddush. Why is Daniel called an Ish Chamudos? A man that's chamud, that is precious, cherished. It's not so easy to translate the word chamud. Ish Cham Chemda, Eretz Chemda Toivo Urechava, a land that is cherished, a land that is desirable. If you look in the translations, our English translations, you will notice that the translators do not agree on the best word for chemda. A lot of words that are very hard to translate. Chain. How does one translate the word v'noyach motzo chain be'enei Hashem? That's probably one of the hardest words to translate because there are so many translations. Likewise, chemda is not an easy word to translate. Shabbos Kodesh is called Chemdas Yomim Oisoi Korosa. Doniel is called Doniel Ish Chamudois. What is the connection between Doniel being called Ish Chamudois and Shabbos being called Chemdas Yomim? And after you learn this Malbum, you know the answer. Because Shabbos is the end. Shabbos is the Gemar. There's nothing that comes after Shabbos. Shabbos, kol melachtecha nases. Your attitude on Shabbos is, it's over. Everything is done. Daniel, relative, compared to, in contrast to all of the other prophets, is the end. Because all of the other prophets, when they gave messages, it wasn't the end. It was just, more or less, an end point in a cycle. In a process. There's another chapter, there's another paragraph, maybe there's another book, there's a sequel, there's more coming. Daniel, his prophecy is v'lo yichazev. Nothing more needs to be done. And if nothing more needs to be done, this is the Gemar. So let's look inside over here, what it says over here. Read these words over here. You have it on the screen. Let's go over now what he says. Oh, this is very powerful stuff. Okay, Danny Wright. Let's go back and just read the words from the words. It's on Pasuk Gimel. It's 1, 2, 3, 4 lines down after the Malbim begins Pasuk Gimel. You have it on your screen. Where it says there in the parentheses, Al pi Daniel Yudeis, ki achar sheyigalu Yisrael mi Bavel, yiglu sheinis. After they're redeemed from Bavel, they can be redeemed a second time. V'yakeitz shehi hagu'ulo acharoino lo yihye oz. It's not going to happen immediately. There's going to be a 2,000-year delay. V'yesh oid yofech lakeitz. There's going to be another expression, yafeach means to speak, another dibur, there will be another prophecy that will express the kates. Od yakim davi, there will again rise a prophet, shu yidaber v'yinabi ala kates, asher lo yichazev. And what does it mean yichazev? V'yufsak, lie. How does the word lie here, how do we understand the word lie in this context? Ki ha-moyed yichazev. The beginning of the pasuk, oid chozoin la-moyed, is a lie. The moed is a kozov. Because, return to loymar, sheyufsak, acharei zeh, it will come to an end. The redemption will come to an end, because after 420 years, ki oid yiglu sheinis. Aval, ha-keitz lo yichazev. Kilo yiyah achrav golus, is not going to be another golus. V'Daniel hu yofiach esakeitz asher lo yichazev. It will be Daniel ish chamudos. He will be the one that will give over the prophecy, that will tell us, that will bring the ultimate gula. Rak yiyah teshua olamis. Okay, so that's how he interprets this pasuk. Now he goes further. The next words of the pasuk are, im yismamo, if you discover that there is a delay, shagam akeitz achron yismamah, nevertheless, yearn for it, because it will certainly come. V'lo yacher, ritzan olemar, ki yesh hevdel bein mis mameah ubein mis acher, she hameacher yeacher zman hakavua umugbol. A delay delays a set time. The im yesh lo dover zman elef shanim, hagam she mis mameah b'chol zos im bobo es hakavua, l'soif elef shanim loy echar es hazman hakavua. Okay, let's go further. V'hine ha-ge'ulah ha-acharonah yesh lo shnei zmanim. Zochu achishena. Loy zochu bu'ita. We know that the Mashiach can come early, but if it does not come early, there is a set time that it must come, whether we like it or not. Whether we have no, it has to come at a certain time. V'agam ki shekishalo yizku yis mamo, if we do not merit, it delays. Ki akeitz hakavua biito hu mugbol lizman rochok mo'id, because there is an end point. B'chol zois kishagia hazman hamugbol lo yacher oiso, that will not be delayed. Uvo yovo yakeitz b'chol oifen, it will come no matter what. So he's saying over here amazing, amazing things. He takes the next words of the pasuk, im yis mama chakelo kivo yovoi lo yacher. Question: why the repetition? Why are there two statements which appear to be the same thing? Number one, im yismama. Number two, lo yeacher. What's the difference between yismama and yeacher? And the answer is, yeacher means it can be delayed only up to a point. Okay, if you don't want to say Kriya Shema at 6 o'clock in the morning, you can wait. But once you come to the Zman Kriya Shema, whatever it is, 9:15, 9:30, whatever it is, that's it. That's the cutoff point. There is lo yeacher. That is the end. There is no room to budge. There is a hard deadline. There used to be April 15th was tax day. No more. Now it's July 15th. When do you do your taxes? Well, you can do it today, tomorrow, the next day. If you want, you can be Yismama. Yismama, there's a slider. We allow you to push it off. If you want, you can do it today. Halavai, do it right away. But if you don't want, there is a possibility for it to be pushed down the road. But lo yacher, it comes a point in time where there is a hard deadline, and that it cannot go past that moment. So that is what it means over here in this pasuk. That the Sheikh over here, we have two prophets. Maskan, according to the Malam, we have two prophets. We have the prophecy of Yirmiyah and the prophecy of Daniel. The prophecy of Yirmiyah is in regard to Bavel, and that's what's called Oid Chazoin LaMoed. But the Moed is, it will lie. It will be a Chazov, because it will be a Gaulus afterwards. But then there's going to be the prophecy of Daniel, and he is described as Viofeach Laketz. He will speak concerning the ultimate Geula, and that V'lo Yichazeh, that will not be necessary to be repeated. With regard to the Geula Hasida, there's Zochu Achishena. If we merit, it will come early. Loi Zochu, if we don't merit, Be'ita. Im yismama, if we don't take advantage and we allow it to slide further in time, chakeloi, yearn for it. Maybe you can do something to make it come early. Kivo yavoi, but at the end of the day, it's going to come lo yacher. There is a hard deadline in which it must come. I personally feel, and I thought it was pashut, but obviously it's not so pashut, is that the life that we're living now, there are elements of Mashiach that already have come. I'm saying it's very controversial, but I really believe there is a grain of truth. Is there are tzaddikim throughout the generations that have done incredible things, that through them we have we really should merit that there should be Mashiach. Mashiach should be here. Mashiach in its full glory should be here. Which, whatever that means, no one knows what that means. Techiyas HaMesim, everyone has Parnasa, no one has Daigos, everyone is healthy. I don't know what it means. Whatever it means, it means. That should have already have happened long ago because of the merit of holy tzaddikim. Unfortunately, there are troublemakers out there who have prevented Mashiach from coming. But it's not black and white. It's not that the troublemakers have completely sealed Mashiach. Look at the world. In the world, there's no doubt there's a lot of pain. There's a lot of death. There's a lot of illness. There's enormous suffering. But you also can't deny that the opportunities and success and kavod shamayim that we witness every single day in this world are beyond belief. Even talk about the conveniences of life, modern plumbing, technology, the comfort of living. The poorest man today has more creature comforts than Baron Rothschild, only not that long ago. Okay, the poorest person today, they have creature comforts that no one could ever imagine. Are you not going to say that these creature comforts that we have of a modern day plumbing, you don't have to go to an outhouse, and you're able to go, even a poor person can go to a city shelter, Baruch Hashem, at least in America, to stay warm or to stay cool in the summer and can have food. Who would imagine these things? Who would imagine such things? Are these not things of Ikvasa de Mashiach? What about the opportunity to learn? Look at the Svarim. Look at the technology. We're able to learn here, even though there's a Dever Be'ir. When the Chazal said, Dever Be'ir, Kanei Sraglecha. If there's a plague in the city, shelter in place. Did Chazal ever imagine we can be sheltered in place and have a shir? We can learn. We can go on Zoom. I can make a photocopy of a sefer that wasn't even remotely possible with such beauty, the nekudos and the clarity, and I can post it over here and you can read it. It's beyond belief. So is this not an element of Mashiach has already come? Now, don't get me wrong. Mashiach hasn't come. Okay, there's death and suffering and tremendous agmas nefesh. Pain in this world is not to be believed. But can't deny, can't be a kafui toiva, deny the incredible bracha and opportunity we have. This is an element of the fulfillment of Daniel. Daniel gave over a prophecy that is going to be a geulo hasid, v'yofeach laketz, v'lo yichazev, im yismama chakelo, if it delays, yearn for it, kivo yovo lo yacher. The ultimate Mashiach will eventually come, but try to bring Mashiach early. And there's no doubt about it that elements of that Mashiach already have come to a degree, okay? To a small degree, have already come. The Mzochu Achishena. We were Zoiche to a degree. It's not all or nothing. It's not black and white. There are many shades. And therefore, this is part of the message of Mashiach. It's a very beautiful pasuk. The Malbum is gold. Unbelievable how he takes, how he darshins these three psukim. We learned today over here how he darshins these three psukim. Everything about the Malbum over here is really, we learned this tachazo very quickly, just in 30 seconds.
Yeah, he's repeating a lot of what the Abarbanel said 300 years before him.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. The difference is what the Abarbanel says in terms of the Lashon, he darshins the words, and he says, Ubier alaluchos, he says, this, you know, the Nevi'im, they made speeches. But this, because for the second Nevuah, I need you to write it down so future generations can read it. Speeches get lost in the shuffle. But if you write it down,
so where is the speech? Where is it? Where are the luchos?
Well, so we have, no, not on, but write it down on a paper so that it could be learned.
Right, so where is it? It got lost from us.
Of course, he said the first chazon, it's two chazionos, the first one the people didn't believe because they made a cheshbon of the 70 years a couple of times and it didn't come in their mind, so they lost hope. So he's saying, Afal Pichain, the second kate, the word, the kates, what's really a kate, not a pekida, the first one is just the pekida. The second one that Daniel will say is the actual kate, and that was Lo Yachir. The second one is gonna come, and I want you to write it down. This one was, they'll believe it if you say it enough. And you have to write it down. But he's very Marach, and he darshens every word in the pasuk. Not like the Malbim. He says why.
He goes through more details.
He darshens every single word. He says, Ksov Chazon. Write it down.
Okay, write down in the book. The Chazon was the book,
Okay. Says, not a speech. Don't just give a speech.
Right, that's the everyone says that. Everyone says that. The Chazon is written in the Sefer. Sefer Chavakuk. But in addition, there should be an elaboration which we don't have. It's lost to us, this elaboration. The Malum is telling us what the elaboration is.
Okay. So he says at the beginning of the parsha, the beginning of the paragraph, Mishmarti Moda, every Navi had his time for getting his Nevuah. So he says, Al Mishmarti, this is my time that I received the Nevuah. So I'm making myself available. I'm putting myself in the right frame of mind. I'm standing here and preparing my body, like you're saying, Sukkot Yizimra before Shmon Esrei, to put yourself in the right frame of mind to daven or Kadosh Baruch Hu. So the same thing here, Al Mishmarti Hamoda, I'm standing here, preparing myself. I want to understand what you're doing, Al Kadosh Baruch Hu. I need to understand better so I know how to answer you and what to yell at you about. I'm not moving from this place, Lo Zoz Bimkomi, and I want to understand. Al Motzar, and I'm going to wait until I get it, what this is all about and why, what's happening, we deserve to happen to us. And then, of course, and then the way he asks for forgiveness, and that's how the parable begins, you know, I'll shake your notes. Please don't treat it like I'm not amazed. I'm, you know, shogeg. I don't treat it like amazing. So that's how he weighs three pages on these psukim. He had the first three psukim.
Very good.
So,
okay, we'll stop over here. We'll take a short break. And then we're going to learn about a controversial psak that has come out that this year you're allowed to listen to music during Svira. Everyone is talking about this. Okay, we'll talk about that after the break. See you back in a minute.